Kind of an interesting evening, actually. I'm not sure what it is, but it's interesting. At the nursing home, it was just really, just was. And here it just is. I don't know what it is, but it is. It's God, I think. When I came here, the youth group was listening, and we have an adapter so that they can plug their iPod in, but the adapter sometimes is adapting and sometimes is not adapting. And so they have to work with it to get it to adapt just right so that they get a pure sound out of it. And so apparently it's a wrong adapter. It has a little too long of a nose on it, but I thought, isn't it good that it's not that difficult to connect with God? Although oftentimes we treat our connection with God sort of that way, like it's just like the connection is not quite being made in that. And the fact of the matter is that the connection is always hooked up, but there's something about the tuning. Connection's there, but it's tuning in. It's the trusting. And I was talking to the Lord about the fact that it said, whoever hears, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. And it just came, the thought came to me that once and for all, we must come to the place where we declare to God, you are my Lord. You are my refuge. You are my God. I put all my trust for all things, all the time, in you. And this was Monday or Tuesday, and I said, okay, so Lord, this is my position today, forever. Now, I've maybe said that one way or another a thousand times in 25 years. I don't know, But I think that there's maybe if we tie together some of the things that the Lord has talked to us about, how breakthrough comes with a revelation. There's a moving of the Spirit. There's a understanding. There's glimpses, but then there comes to that place where, okay, this is it. One time, Moses said to God, he said, listen, if you don't go with us, we're not going. You got to go with us. The Lord goes out before you. His joy will be your strength. You don't go with us. We don't go anywhere. And so, Lord, this is my position forever. And I said to him, I said, Lord, now it's your responsibility to guide me into all truth. Okay? He's the one that said that he would. And so, he's my friend, right? He's our friend. And so I'm not being arrogant when I say anything to him. I'm saying, listen, Lord, I'm putting all my trust in you. It's your responsibility to guide me into all truth. It's only the mind of Christ that will guide me into all truth. I am not smart enough. I can't figure this out on my own. And the Bible bears that out. It says, unless the Spirit shows it to you, it's just words. It's powerless. In a devotion I read today, or I read in a book, I don't know, anyway. But, okay, the thing is, okay, the word without the enlightenment of the Spirit does what? It becomes dry, it becomes legalistic, it just doesn't make it. The Spirit, without the word, because the Spirit and the word, the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, it was the Spirit that hovered over the face of the waters. If we try to take the Spirit without the Word, without the living Word, without the Lord, then the Spirit can go, into air. And so, that life that is in it. And so it becomes a place of, it is God's responsibility. Once we have yielded, once we have committed ourselves, submit yourself therefore unto God, a living sacrifice, so that the Lord can show what is that perfect will of God. So, Lord, I said, it is your responsibility now to guide me into all truth, in all things, all the time. You are responsible, Lord, to see to it that I have prosperity, that I have health, even foreseeing that my soul prospers. His word says, I would that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. It's up to him to see to it that my soul is prosperous. Now, yes, but you see, I made my commitment to him. This is my commitment. As long as I have made this commitment, it's now his responsibility to do what he's promised. Now, I can rescind mine anytime I want to. I can pull mine back. But he's faithful even when I'm not. And what I'm saying to him is, keep me as the apple of your eye, Lord. It's up to you. I want to live like Jesus lived. I want to live the way he walked here and the way he lives now. Scripture says that I have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. I want what the Scripture says, Lord. I wrote it down because I want to come back to it, because I want to reread what I wrote so I can keep my vows. I want to keep my vow to the Lord. Now, I've made lots of vows to the Lord, and I've got journals full of stuff that I've written to the Lord, and I've got things that when I say things to him, he'll remind me of things that were written. He'll say, remember, I said this, I said this, I said this, things that I have forgotten. But when he says remember, it's like, yeah, I remember, that was sweet. And so I'm saying to the Lord, and this is what we all can say to the Lord, I'm just telling you what I did. You do whatever you want to. But since I have been seated in heavenly places with him, though I cannot force the truth on people, I can in fact submit myself to your authority so that I can say, as Jesus said, I always do what you want, so you will never desert me. Isn't that what Jesus said about the Father? I always do what pleases him, he'll never desert me. I want to always do what pleases God. I refuse to live any other way, so if you don't agree to this, then get me out of here. But I know that there's much that he has shown me, that he has told me. And so I just want to make sure that that's all that I do. To just live life in a way that reveals him, that magnifies him, that brings glory to him. So that it's him. If I do that, then I'm going to have a successful life. And if I will just take the time to hear him, he'll speak. Because he cannot lie and he cannot deny himself. I don't want my will, I just want your will to be done. That was my commitment to him. Like I said, I've made that commitment in one way or another many times, but I felt the need, the urge, the unction to put it down. Because I started out simply by saying, Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, you're my God, and you I will trust. And then the rest began to come as though it was prophetic, as though it was a word from the Lord that he was giving me to speak for myself, and he said, write it down. And so I wrote it down. And then I committed myself to be committed to it. And I can't say that there have been any firecrackers or rockets, But there have been obvious confirmations of a change. His voice and clearly in things. Not, I don't think, because he's speaking more clearly, but because I'm listening more closely, because now I have written down and I have said this and I have committed myself to this and I got to keep it. Because I'm having the revelation of everything that comes from it. Seeing the importance of it. Seeing that there's nothing that's worth giving any of this up for. His promises. What he wants to do. Now, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, he wants to do things. You know, and it's just like I said in the devotion, what if everyone who observes Easter, Resurrection Day this year, began to walk in the power of that resurrection? What if we all suddenly, every person who believes on the name of the Lord Jesus suddenly began to just walk in the power of that resurrection? What would happen? Well, I can't be concerned about other people doing it, but I can be concerned that I do it. Because if we do it, then the Lord will be revealed. People need to see the kingdom of God. Now I know. We've talked about this and we've talked about this and we've talked about this and we're going to keep talking about this because it's going to happen. Amen. It is going to happen because it's God's will that it happen. And that it does happen and that it happens in a greater way. It's His plan. And it's going to happen for everyone who says, that's my plan. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. And we just have to agree that it's going to happen. And then we have to agree that it's going to happen with me, to me, and through me. We have to be, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, it's God's way. A joyous, wonderful way. I had a student today that, you know, the end of the day asked me, could we leave early? I said, no. Well, they would never know. I'd just go out and I'd go clear on the block. I said, I'd know. I said, what if you went out there and something happened and somebody said, what was that person out of school early for? Well, you could just tell them you didn't know. I said, I couldn't tell them I didn't know because I would know. And I can't lie. I said, if I lie, I lose the blessing of God. I love it when they give me an opportunity to say, I like being blessed of God. And it just so happened that my daughter was in that study hall and this guy's sitting there and he said, okay, I give up. I feel sorry for you, Shiloh. Do you ever win an argument? I said, well, it depends on what they're arguing about. But if it has to do with the Word of God, it has to stop there. It has to stop in that spot. Earlier in the day, some kids worked real hard. They got their work done, and they wondered if they could go to Hall's to get some breakfast. And I said, no. They said, well, our other teacher lets us. I said, good. Your other teacher may feel that he has the authority to do that, but I'm a substitute. But I will allow you to go talk to the higher authority. And they came back and they didn't get to go. Because the higher authority agreed that maybe that wasn't a good idea. And I thought, you know something? This is the thing. We need to designate things to the highest authority, whatever comes up. We need to say to the devil, you talk to God about that. You know? The devil says he's going to kill you. You say, you talk to God about that. The devil says I'm going to make you sick. You say, you talk to God about that. Devil comes to steal from you, you say, you better talk to God about that. Going to the highest authority. I need to tune in so well that that's where I always go. Because what if when we didn't know what to say, we just didn't say anything? Or what if we just said what God said and left it at that? This is what God said. We're just going to leave it at that. What makes you so sure? You know, I can be honest and say, I'm not so sure, but I know that it's what God said. I don't know how God's going to do everything. I don't have to know how He's going to do everything. But if I have the confidence that if He says He will do it, and I stand, He's going to get it done. That was why John could say, this is the confidence we have. This is the confidence we've developed. This is the confidence that when we pray, we know God hears us. I know God heard me. I prayed and I know God heard me. What if we just leave it at that? See, the enemy is working the same way today that he worked in the garden. Eve had the right answer. God said. Should have just left it at that. But the serpent said, did he really say? And so, if you say, or I say, by his stripes I am healed. And the enemy says, you don't look healed. Be honest now, you don't even feel healed. Did God really say that he'd heal you? If he really did, how come you're sick? And if he can get us to say, yeah, how come I am sick? How come this is happening to me? It's a valid statement. Except, if we've already said that God has taken care of it, we don't want to go backwards. Once Eve had gone backwards to that, once she had reconsidered it, once she had decided, well, why not take a taste of the fruit? What is an excuse that many, 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 oftentimes Christians will use to go ahead and do whatever they want? Well, I know God will forgive me. Well, God knows my heart. Well, nobody's perfect. Well, the Bible says you've been made perfect. The devil can accomplish enough without us helping him to get us over the edge on our own by making our own excuses. He doesn't even have to do a lot sometimes because we've already figured out what to say, not on purpose, not because we wanted to, but how often do we erase what we prayed with our own words? How often do we rob God of the blessing that he wants to give us? But if we will allow it, if we will commit ourselves to him, he will help us to quit doing that. He will. But we have to commit ourselves to be committed. And your breakthrough comes with the revelation, comes with you getting there. It comes with you saying, that's what I'm going to do. You and God doing it. Being committed to Him, His will and His ways above everything else. Fighting yourself if necessary. And that's sometimes our biggest adversary is ourself, isn't it? our thinking, our past, our fears of the future, or whatever the case might be, we fight against the Word of God. Not because we want to, not because we write something in a journal that says, I just don't believe the Word anymore. We wouldn't do that. But the fact of the matter is, as things come and we get worn down and we let ourselves get weak and we just think we can't hold on, and He's got a hold of us. And so we have to consider, what if? Forget what I have done. Forget those things that are behind, as the Apostle Paul said, good, bad, or in between. But what now? In this scripture in Ephesians, in Philippians, Ephesians 1 says that we have been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's been given to us. Was it given to us and taken back, and given to us and taken back, or was it just given to us? Well, I think that it was just given to us, because God's gifts are without recourse. He doesn't say, here, you've got it now, now you don't have it. You can have it and not utilize it, right? Our Suburban sits in the garage most of the time. We have it. When we've needed it, it's just awesome. But it sits there most of the time. It's there to be utilized. The things of God are there all the time. How often do we need to utilize them? All the time. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, Paul says, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I read that and I thought, you know, so many times people think about the fellowship of His suffering, and they think somehow we've got to suffer with Him. But I felt like the Spirit of the Lord said to me, fellowshipping with His suffering is partaking of what His suffering was all about. He was wounded for my transgressions. I fellowshipped with His suffering when I was forgiven. He was bruised for my iniquities. I fellowship with Him when I let Him cover a multitude of sins. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. I fellowship with His sufferings when I receive His peace. Why should He suffer for me to have peace and me refuse to take it? And by His stripes, ye were healed. I was healed. We were healed. Fellowship with what His suffering was about. Partake of it. Otherwise, why did He suffer? It sounds so noble, and it sounds so naturally right to have God be a fickle God rather than a faithful God. To have Him be a maybe God. Because the thing is that the maybe God leaves Him the opportunity to not keep His promise. And to not be so demanding upon Him, and not be so arrogant as to think that God really meant that He was our friend. But to serve a faithful God simply says, God is faithful, let God be true and every man a liar. And so God said, and that's where I'm going to leave it. And there are things when you say God said and that's where I'm going to leave it, had a letter, an email today, a wonderful email from Marcia Martin's wife, and she was talking about how they had an appointment yesterday to check on the plans for the 23rd when there's going to be a surgery on Brexton's airway, and they've been believing that God has done the surgery. And she said, if we hadn't been doing this for over a year, it would have been a terrible meeting. Because the doctor's plans are not very much for good and not with a lot of promise. But they have confidence that it's all taken place. Now in the natural, you can look and you can say, been praying for a year, we got 18 days left, and God hasn't done anything. Or we can say, by His stripes, you were healed. And stand on it. But I will tell you that I read that, and a natural part of me thought, oh, bless their hearts. And I just thought, shut up. Because the bless their hearts was like, man, I better prepare them. I better prepare them to shout and praise. I've been telling them to shout and praise since the whole thing started. But the enemy, you know, it's just one of those things. But it was so subtle, but it was so obvious. When you don't know what to say, just leave it be. Praise the Lord. Keep praising the Lord. Keep giving thanks. Had another wonderful letter today from my son, and my son read in that getting rid of the rotten thinking, and part of it is, I think this one was about, it's not going to work. And it talked about, you know, he said when he was praying for his children and stuff like that. Jordan wrote to me and he said, you know, I was reading that and I just wanted to tell you, Dad, that I know that you never quit praying for us, and please never do. And you see, God is doing abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. And so the confidence has to grow. And let the world, let it appear as arrogance and familiarity with God. Let it appear however the world wants to perceive it. It doesn't matter. How does God perceive it? So what if? What if 10% more? What if 10% of all people who observe? What if a tithe of all the people who observe the resurrection day began to walk in resurrection power? What if? What if we? What if you? What if we just decide no more compromising the Word of God? No more holding out on the Word of God? What if we just said, okay, that's it. My habit's going to be, that's what God said, that's where I'm going to leave it. Until I know what God has to say about it, I don't have anything to say about it. I'm confident that I can walk just like Jesus walked, always pleasing the Father. This is what I commit myself to, and I'll see the fruit of it. What if? I think that's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it for my life. I'm looking forward to for your lives. I believe that it's what the Spirit of the Lord is calling out to the body of Christ for. And it'll change the world. It will change. It will transform. It will restore godly principles to our government, to our nation. It really will. Because that's what God wants. He just wants people to stand up and want what he wants and believe that he can do it. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight and we thank you, Lord, that we can do and know you and the power of your resurrection. We believe that, Lord. We believe that the power of the resurrection came into our lives at the moment that you came into our lives. That you didn't tiptoe into us, that you came in all your fullness. And now, Lord, it's our desire to walk in that fullness and to bring much glory and much honor and much praise to your name. So that, Lord, you can say, they have set their love upon me. And because they've set their love upon me, I'll rescue them. When they call me, I'll answer them. Because they've known my name, I will honor them and show them my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.